게이투데이 니에마이어 니에마이어 챕터 1 verse 1 to 11 and key verses chapter 6 verse 15 16 and chapter 8 let us read the whole verses of chapter 1 alternatively and then key verses read together. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenants of love with those who love him and obey his commands. This is prayer of Nehemiah. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are in the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servants and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes. Okay? Let us read the key verses. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days when all our enemies heard about this. All the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Amen. May God bless all of us with his living, powerful words. As for the Bible, in the study of the Bible, one thing we need to know is that in the Old Testament, 39 books are not arranged in chronological order. But according to writing style. So, for example, in the Old Testament, the first five books from Genesis to Deuteronomy are called the Law, Pentateuch, five books of Moses. And the second, 12 books from Joshua to Esther. We'll study Esther next Sunday. From Joshua to Esther, 12 books are called history books, historical books. And the third five books from Job to Song of Solomon are called poems, poetic books. And the last 17 books from Isaiah to the last book, Malachi, are called prophetical books, prophecies, like this. First Law, second History, third Poetry, last Prophets. Then, chronologically, today book, Nehemiah, chronologically, is one of the last books, almost the last books, with the last book, Malachi. So the book, Nehemiah, takes us to the end of historical accounts in the Old Testament, about 400 years before the birth of the promised Messiah, Christ. As we studied before, let us have just a short review what we studied until now. Judah, southern kingdom, was destroyed in BC 586 by Nebuchadnezzar, by Babylonia. But God promised that they would return from exile through the mouth of Jeremiah. We saw this story last time. After 70 years of Babylonian captivity. So this return from Babylonia to Jerusalem again is called the Second Exodus. But this Second Exodus is very smaller in size than the first Exodus from Egypt. Because in this return, only remnants chose to return. Not all congregations, only remnants. Then in this return, there are three times return. First return was done under the leadership of Zerubbabel in BC 538. Their main target was to rebuild the temple. And then the second return was done under the leadership of Ezra in BC 457, almost 80 years later. And their main task was to make a spiritual revival by Ezra. And the third return was done under the leadership of Nehemiah in BC 444. Also, before destruction in BC 586, there are three times deportation from Jerusalem to Babylon. First deportation was done in BC 606. Second deportation in BC 597. Then, okay, think about it carefully. After destruction in BC 586, first return was done in BC 538, only 48 years after destruction. Then if you think deeply, you may ask this question. Why? Why first return was done only 48 years after destruction? Why is it called the year of 70 years of Babylonian captivity? The answer is 70 years of Babylonian captivity is counted from first deportation in BC 606, not from final destruction. It can be confused. That's why I made the chart. I hope you may be made clear in this story. This is the final destruction. This is BC 538. This is the final destruction. BC 586. Then after destruction, there is a first return. First return led by whom? Zerubbabel. Their main task was to rebuild the temple. And second return was done under the guidance of Ezra. Their main target is a spiritual revival. So these two return story is written in the book of Ezra, we studied last Sunday. Then third return story is written in the book of Nehemiah. We will study now. I did not start. Their main mission was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. First return, second return, third return. Then before final destruction, there are also three times deportation, exiles. That gives first deportation, 606, second deportation. This is third deportation and destruction. So from here to this year is called the year of 70 years Babylonian captivity. Then from BC 606 to final destruction, this period is overlapped period, about 20 years of not yet destroyed, but already exiled. Clear? Say again? No? Thank you. Okay, first and second return story is written in the book Ezra, and the third return story is written in the book Nehemiah. Actually, Ezra and Nehemiah, they were contemporary. They were very closely associated with each other. They worked together. Ezra was a priest, scribe for spiritual revival, and Nehemiah was a governor to lead them spiritually, but also politically and socially. And today we are to study Nehemiah. Also, just like Ezra, Nehemiah is name of a book, but also name of a person. Who is the main character in this book, Nehemiah? Who is Nehemiah? The name of Nehemiah is comforts from God. Do you have comforts from God? Nehemiah means comfort, peace of heart of Jehovah, Yahweh. And Nehemiah was born in Babylonia during 70 years of Babylonian captivity. So Nehemiah is Babylonian captivity generation. Then his job was a cupbearer of king, especially Artaxerxes. You know, cupbearer means his role of tasting God's wine, drink, food, to prevent him from being poisoned, placed him high position, absolute trust and confidence as one of king's advisor. It means he could enjoy luxury and ease of palace. But he gave up his luxury and easy life to share troubles, difficulties of his own people. Then the book Ezra with 13 chapters covers 19 years from BC, his return year 404 to 425. This book can be divided into two parts. Okay, first part is from chapter 1 to 7. Okay, first part is from chapter 1 to 7. In this part, the main mission of Ezra was for the reconstruction of the wall. Reconstruction of the wall. Actually, at the time, without wall, without fence, city was not considered as city. So for city to be city, fence, wall was essential, necessary. So their main target was to make walls, to rebuild walls. Actually, Nehemiah's great concern for his people and for the welfare of Jerusalem leads him to take bold action. As we know, the walls of Jerusalem destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in BC 586, but evidence have been almost rebuilt again after BC 464, when Artaxerxes took the throne of Persia. But again, when Nehemiah heard that the opposition led to the second destruction, first he prayed on behalf of his people, and then secures king's permission, providence, protection for the massive, huge project of the rebuilding the walls. Actually, this third return under the leadership of Nehemiah in BC 444 took place 14 years after second return led by Ezra, and 94 years after the first return led by Zerubbabel. Then he returned to Jerusalem and inspected the walls and challenged the people to rise up and build. And then the work began immediately on the walls and the gates, with the people building portions to corresponding to where they are living. But however, opposition happens, big oppositions. First in the form of mockery, and second in the form of conspiracy. But Ezra overcomes threat of force. Ezra overcomes this opposition by setting half of the people on military watch and half of the people on construction. Also, while external opposition continues to increase, but also inside the opposition surfaces appears again. It means among Jewish people, among themselves, Rich people become more rich, poor people become more poor. Because rich people are abusing, oppressing poor people by forcing them to mortgage their property and sell their children into slavery. So again, Nehemiah deals with this problem by two means, prayer and action. Actually, in the life of Nehemiah all the time, prayer and action go together. Today's topic is pray and take action. Also, Nehemiah himself leads by example when he sacrificed his own salary as a governor. Actually, he was a cupbearer to king, but also he was a governor. He was appointed as a governor in Jerusalem. But he did not demand his salary as a governor to help the poor people among his own people. So finally, this job to rebuild the wall was finished in incredible only 52 days. We read already 52 days. Shall we see briefly the survey of each chapter from chapter 1 to 7, first part? Would you open your Bible? Nehemiah, shall you see briefly survey of each chapter from 1 to 7? Okay. In chapter 1, the story is in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, Nehemiah heard the news about Jerusalem from his brother's name Hanani, who came from Jerusalem to him, that those who survived the exile are in great troubles and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates burned with fire. So when he heard the news, Nehemiah wept, fasted, and prayed. You know, we can see his prayer from verse 4 to last verse. You know, in his prayer, first he worshiped God, adoring the God of heaven, calling him great and awesome God. And then he confessed the sins of himself and his forefathers, ancestors, and prayed for supplication. This is the ideal form of prayer. In his prayer, he first worshiped, adores God. You are great, awesome God. And then he repented, confessed not only his own sin, but also the sins of his people. And then finally he asked his petition and supplication. And then in chapter 2, King Artaxerxes asked Nehemiah, "Why do you look so sad?" Then Nehemiah answered, "I'm so sad because of such and such." Then King said again, "Okay, what do you want? But to this question, "What do you want from King?" Nehemiah did not say what he wanted, but before he said what he wanted, he prayed. And then he said, and he got permission from King. And then he went to Jerusalem, and he examined the walls, and then began to build the wall of Jerusalem. This is the story of chapter 2. Okay. Chapter 3, you can see just a list of builders, list of workers of the world. And chapter 4, yes, there was opposition from Sanballat, Tobiah. So Nehemiah posted the guard day and night. Half of them did the work for building, and half of them defended themselves with weapons. And then Nehemiah encouraged his people, saying, don't be afraid. Remember God. Remember God. And chapter 5 also internal opposition from his own people. In chapter 5, Nehemiah helped the poor. Even among the Jews, there was a big gap, big difference between the rich people and the poor people. The poor becoming poorer and the rich becoming richer, more richer. So Nehemiah scolded the nobles, officials, and told them to stop charging interest. And he himself did not demand the food allotted to him as the governor. And chapter six, in spite of further opposition from Sanballat, Tobiah, the building of the wall was completed in how many days? 52 days. So even the enemies recognized that this job was done with the help of God. Shall you see chapter 6, verse 16? Amazing testimony. This is one of amazing testimony in this book, Nehemiah. Chapter 6, verse 16. Shall we read together? 6:16. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Amen. And then in chapter 7, we can see the list of the exiles who returned to Jerusalem. Okay. This is the first part story. In the first part, the main task was what? To rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the second part, okay. Second part is from chapters 8 to chapter 13. In second part, main mission of them is spiritual revival. The construction, reconstruction of the walls is followed by consecration and consolidation of the people, especially Nehemiah, the priest, who is the leader of spiritual revival. Reminiscence of the reforms he led 13 years earlier. Then in this part, Nehemiah stood, maybe like me. In chapter 8, we can see later, Nehemiah stood on a special wooden platform, podium, after the completion of the walls. And he gives the people a marathon reading of the Word of God from early morning to noontime, translating the words of God from Hebrew to Aramaic. Because many of them were born in Babylonia, even though they were Jews, there are many who could not speak, who could not understand their own mother tongue, Hebrews. So Ezra translated Hebrews to Aramaic. So they could understand, you know, they responded with crying, weeping, repentance, confession, obedience, and rejoicing. Also the rabbis and the priests lead the people in a great prayer that surveys God's past work of deliverance and loyalty on behalf of his people. And then they magnify God's attributes of his holiness, justice, and mercy, and love. And then The covenant is renewed to the God as the people commit themselves to separate themselves from pagans, especially in marriage, and to obey God's commandments. After this job, lots were drawn to determine who will stay in Jerusalem and who will return to the cities of their inheritance. Then one-tenth were required to stay in Jerusalem, and the rest of the land are resettled by people and the priest. But unfortunately, Ezra's revival is short-lived. In last chapter, we can see Nehemiah returned to Babylonia because he had a promise with King Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes asked, how long do you need to finish your job in chapter 1 and 2? And then after finishing his main task, rebuilding of the walls, he returned to Artaxerxes, to Babylonia. And then he got another permission from king, and he made a second trip to Israel to reform the people. And he cleansed the temple, and he required the people not to marry pagan women. This is the last part in Nehemiah. Shall we see the second part from chapter 8 to last chapter? Chapter 8. In chapter 8, all the people, do you see in verse 6 in the middle part, do you see amen, amen? Do you see? Chapter 8, verse 6 in the middle part, do you see two words, repeated words, amen, amen? Do you see? Amen, amen. You know, in chapter 8, all the people of Jews gathered together in a square before water gates. And Ezra stood in a high wooden platform like this, and he read the word of God from early morning to noontime without stop. Then, how did they respond before the word of God? They lifted their hands and saying, amen, amen, and they bowed down and worshiped their face to the ground. Shall we see verse 6 in chapter 8? In chapter 8, verse 6. Let us read together. Chapter 8, verse 6. Ezra praised. Okay, from 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 4. Ezra, the teacher of the Lord, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathias, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Mashiah, and on his left were Pediah, Meshullah. Anyway, many people. They lifted their hands and bowed down and worshiped, saying, amen, amen. kneel down, their faces to the ground. Shall I show you? In your room, you practice, okay? With chapter 9. In chapter 9, again, continually, all the people gathers together and they fasting, wearing sackcloth as a symbol of repentance, confession, and putting dust, you know, dust on their heads and confessed their sins, retrospecting their history and remembering what God had done for their forefathers in the past. And chapter 10, they made agreement with the seal. They made agreements with the seal. They made agreements, at least three things they promised. They promised to do these things before God. At least three things. First, they promised not to marry pagans. Secondly, they promised to keep the Sabbath holy. And thirdly, they promised to respect, honor the temple, house of God, by giving regular offerings and tithe. Chapter 11, also the list of new residents of Jerusalem from the descendants of Judah, Benjamin, priests, and the Levites and gatekeepers. Chapter 12, also the list of priests and the Levites who returned with Zerubbabel long, long time ago. And there was a dedication. Finally, there was a dedication of the wall of Jerusalem with great joy and thanksgiving. And the last chapter, 13, Nehemiah's final reforms. As I mentioned already, Nehemiah had returned to the king Artaxerxes as he set a time in his 32nd year. And sometime later, he got another permission and came back to Jerusalem and led his final reforms for his people. Okay, this is the story of book Nehemiah. Actually, in the Old Testament, Nehemiah is one of good examples for Christian leadership. Actually, in seminar, in lecture of Christian leadership or servant leadership, Nehemiah is used very often. Nehemiah is a good example for Christian leadership, servant leadership. Nehemiah is type of Jesus Christ. Nehemiah portrays Jesus Christ in his ministry of restoration. Yes, in his time, in this book, everything is restored. For example, the temple was rebuilt. Wall of Jerusalem was reconstructed. Covenants was renewed. And the people were reformed. Everything was restored. Yes, everything can be restored in Jesus Christ. Our salvation, our life, our peace, our joy, everything we need can be restored in Jesus Christ. Also, Nehemiah illuminates Jesus Christ in that he gives up his high position. He could enjoy luxurious life because as cupbearer, he had a close, regular, personal meeting with the king. But he abandoned his old privilege, his right, in order to identify himself with the troubles of his own people. So through the story of Isaiah, at least we can learn two things. just like his humiliation from highest position to the lowest position to share the difficulties and problems with his own people, like this, our Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself voluntarily, willingly. He left the riches of heaven in order to take on humans' poverty. He took on unglorified human flesh, human body, which was subject to weakness, sickness, limitation, or sometimes temptations. Yes, Jesus Christ willingly chose not to use his right of deity, such as omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, to make his way easier. He was original God, but he became man, and he wearied, he was tired, sometimes exhausted, hungry, thirsty. He traveled from one place to another place. He grew up in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He was born in stable. Even he had no place, he had no room to put his head when he went about teaching, preaching, healing, helping the poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, he, even though Jesus was rich, yes, he was the richest, but for our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Philippians 2 says, Jesus Christ, being very nature God, he was original God. But he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, be found as appearance of man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient up to death, even death on a cross. And Bible says, your attitude should be like as Jesus Christ. Also, another thing we must learn from Nehemiah is his priority, number one, was all the time prayer. You know, for example, in chapter one, when he heard sad news about Jerusalem, first thing he did was he prayed. And in chapter 2, when King Artaxerxes said, okay, what do you want? What is it you want? Then Nehemiah first prayed, and then he said what he wanted. And then in chapter 4, when he was confronted with opposition, he prayed first. And finally, in last chapter, we can see at least 4 times his prayer. Remember me for this. Oh God, remember me for this. Remember them, oh God. Shall you see? Last chapter. Last chapter, chapter 13, verse 14. This is a prayer of Nehemiah. Remember me for this, O my God. Do you see? 14. And 22. Remember me for this also, O my God. And verse 29. Remember them, O my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenants of the priesthood of the Levites. And finally, last verse, verse 31. Remember me with favor, O my God. What is the last sentence of the book of Nehemiah? Shall read the last sentence of this book, Nehemiah. Remember me with favor, my God. Favor means grace, grace. Without grace, we are nothing. We can do nothing. Shall we pray like this? Remember me with favor, my God. This is the last sentence of Nehemiah. Yes, like this. Like Nehemiah lived the prayerful life, life of prayer. His life was characterized by prayerful dependence on God. Like this, our Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of prayer. Yes, Jesus was original God. He was omnipotent, omniscient. He could do everything, nothing impossible with him. But he lived a life of prayer. You know, in his earthly ministry, he prayed regularly, unceasingly. He spent long seasons in prayer. Sometimes he spent the whole night with prayer. At other times, he got up so early to pray. He prayed before engaging in great tasks. For example, he prayed before going into Galilee for missionary tour. Also, he prayed before choosing 12 apostles. Also, finally, he prayed before going to Calvary. Before that, even after great success, he prayed. You know, when he fed 5,000 people plus, they shouted. They tried to make Jesus their king by force. But Jesus withdrew to the high mountain by himself to what? To do? To pray. And then finally, he finished his earthly ministry on the cross with prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he prayed, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. And finally, he prayed one more time, Father God, I commit my spirit in your hand. And still now, Jesus is praying for us. Do you know that? Romans 8:34 says, who is it that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died for us. More than this, he was raised to life, and he is sitting at the right hand of God, and he is also praying for us. He is interceding for us. Hebrews 5:7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, supplications with loud cries and tears. You know, Jesus' life was full of tears. Do you know that? To intercede for us. That's why Hebrews 7:25 says, Jesus Christ is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for us. Yes. Our application in our daily Christian life, before say to man, say to God. This is a basic and fundamental message given to us. Yes, every day we talk to man. Is that true? Every day. Prayer is also talking, communication, conversation with God. Before talking to man, talk to God. Kneel down before God, and then you can stand up before man. Be humble before God, and then you can be bold before man. Cry to God, and then we can smile before man. Bless God first and be blessed by God, and then we can be a blessing to men. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, yes, Jesus is original God, very nature God, true God, real God, that if Son of God, Jesus Christ, needed to pray, still he is praying, interceding for us, how much more do we need to wait upon you in prayer? Father God, help us. Our priority number one may be talk to you before talk to man. Father God, help us to cry more and more to you so that we may smile before man. Father God, help us to bless your wonderful name. You are great God, you are awesome God, you are magnificent God. And we want to be blessed by you so that we may be a blessing to others who need your blessing. Fill all of us with your spirit, spirit of wisdom, spirit of faith, and spirit of love, spirit of understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.